Well, good morning again and happy Easter. How often have you spoke to someone and they're either not truly listening to you, I see wives doing this, or it's beyond their comprehension what you're saying. They might be distracted by a sporting event or a TV show, and then when you're ready to discuss it with them, you have to repeat yourself all over again. Our Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples about his resurrection on several stages in the Gospel of Luke, including the two greatest parables, which ended with references to coming back from the dead. It wasn't too long ago that we had the lesson of the prodigal son, or the joyful father. The father rejoices because his son was dead and is alive again. Jesus said he was lost and is found. And then there's the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, which ends with these words: if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Luke chapter 16, verse 31. But ironically, nobody heard what Jesus was saying. They were puzzled, and I guess understandably so. You see, resurrection in that first century Jewish world was what God would do, or they believed God would do in the end, for all the righteous dead, giving new bodies to everyone from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, down to the most recent religious martyrs. Though people could ask or speak of a prophet like Elijah or John the Baptist returning from the dead, I truly think that what they really meant was that someone would come who seemed to have that same spirit as well as the same fiery prophecy. I don't know how many of you might remember this event that was recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, when Jesus' friend Martha comes to meet him when her brother Lazarus has died. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was come into the world. They believed that after Israel's great and final suffering, all God's people would be given new life and new bodies. Now, can you just imagine their surprise and astonishment on that very first Easter morning? It wasn't simply a lack of faith that prevented them from understanding what Jesus had said about his rising again. It was just that nobody ever dreamed that one single living person could be killed and then raised to a new sort of bodily life from the other side of the grave, while the rest of the world continued living their own lives. The women who went to the tomb that Sunday morning certainly weren't expecting what they found. They weren't saying to themselves, well, we've got the spices with us just in case he's still dead, but let's hope he's alive again. They knew and had witnessed throughout their lives that dead people stay dead. The 11 faithful remaining disciples certainly weren't expecting it. What were they doing? They were hiding in the upper room, for as scripture says, they were in fear of the Jews. If this story was made up, I got to tell you, Luke most certainly would not have had women going to the tomb first. Now, that's not a knock on women. But in first century Israel, women were not regarded as credible witnesses. Instead, if Luke was making this up, he would have had the apostles believe the story right away, ready to be models of faith and to lead the young church into God's future. But my friends, there was anything but that happening. They acted as if it was a silly fantasy that you'd expect from a few women who were crazy with grief and a lack of sleep. Peter and John had to go see for themselves, and they would tell the others. In Luke chapter 24, we're told that two of the disciples, one whose name was Cleopas, went on a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus. And there they met the risen Jesus on the road. They didn't recognize him at first, and it wasn't until they sat down and ate with him. And Jesus broke the bread before their eyes, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared instantly. Jesus is most certainly alive. And it's so important for us to note that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is recorded in each one of the 4 Gospels. And that when you read of those accounts, and you read them carefully, you realize that Jesus did not roll away the stone. Jesus walked out of the grave, and then the angels came and rolled away the stone, as we read this morning. Jesus triumphantly emerged from that borrowed tomb by the power of Almighty God. The risen Jesus didn't have to have somebody remove the stone in order for him to leave the tomb. But the stone was removed for one reason, and that was so the witnesses could report that indeed the tomb was empty. While the mood of Easter morning was one of surprise, astonishment, fear, and I venture to say, absolute confusion, the apostles were probably saying, Jesus did say something that this would occur. He told us so, but they still don't know what was truly going on, what all of it meant, and then what's going to happen next. Some people see Holy Week as a drudgery, and they can't wait for it to be over. We're blessed today to have a pastor from Douglas, Pastor Sam DeCasper, who began with the Coffee County Ministerial Alliance 20-something years ago. 26 years ago, a Holy Week luncheon and message that is given on each day of Holy Week. He certainly doesn't see it as a drudgery, and we're blessed to have you with us, brother, and your wife, Sandy. Some people can't wait for that week to be over. They're tasting the chocolate. They can't wait to let fly with the hallelujahs, which we get to do today. Holy Week is a necessity. We need to be reminded of the tremendous price that Jesus paid and to always remember that he did it willingly. I'm sure that he couldn't wait for Holy Week to be over so that Satan would be beaten once for all and Jesus would come out of that tomb victorious. Satan thought he had won. Here's what I'll bet was crossing his mind. Hey, I got him arrested. Now I got him to stand trial. I got him beaten to within an inch of his life. And then he was crucified and he died. And now he's in the tomb. He must have thought to himself, well, I win. 3 days later, that would change entirely as Jesus walked out of the tomb alive again. To Satan's surprise, he may have won the battle, but he lost the war. He lost it all on Easter Sunday. Easter is always a surprise, my friends. Whether we meet it in celebrating the feast itself or in the sudden surges of God's grace, overturning tragedy in our own lives and the world. From the beginning, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. Because it dares to tell us things that we didn't expect. Weren't inclined to believe in the first place and possibly couldn't understand. Did we expect the gospel would be something obvious? Something we could have dreamed up ourselves? I'm afraid not. In answer to the question that Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, What is truth? The answer to that, the truth is the gospel. That Jesus of Nazareth paid the price, the ransom in our place to free us from the ravages of sin and death. And once again, I remind you, he did it willingly. I pray that today more and more people will come to the reality of the gospel and see Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, and invite him into their hearts. As we celebrated St. Andrew's Passover Seder on Maundy Thursday, those who were present witnessed how God used the Passover to point repeatedly toward the sacrifice that Jesus, as the Lamb of God, would withstand for the salvation of mankind. Something very powerful and interesting happens during the Passover. During the Seder dinner, there's a blessing of the bread that we know as matzah, which has stripes on it and has been pierced. But this is something that people have been doing for thousands of years, taking three pieces of matzah in a special pouch, one on top, one in the middle, and one on the bottom. And then the middle matzah is taken out and broken. This is called the afikomen, the coming one. One half is wrapped in linen and then hidden so that one of the youngsters can redeem it, can find it. And then they will receive a ransom. They'll receive a reward in turn for giving back that linen-wrapped piece of matzah. Does this sound familiar to any of you? Let's look at it this way. Three pieces of matzah. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The middle one, the Son, is taken and broken. One half is put back into the pouch, and the other half is wrapped in linen and hidden. Well, you know the rest of the story. And that's what we celebrate today, that Jesus is living. People have been celebrating the Passover for thousands of years, but not seeing the reality of Jesus as Savior, the Redeemer, the middle matzah, the Passover lamb, by whose blood we are saved. Our Jewish brothers and sisters celebrate the fact that they sacrificed a perfect lamb, took the blood, and with the branch of a hyssop, painted the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over and they would be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Does that sound familiar? Indeed. Think of how excited each one of us gets when a youngster, maybe it's your child, your godchild, or your grandchild, recognizes you for the very first time. There's a connection, and you have a feeling that is indescribable. Or maybe, as I love to see my grandson, Essie, come running from across the room and throw his arms up for me to pick him up, and he's so thrilled to see Pop-Pop. He's not as thrilled as Pop-Pop is to see that. The smiles and the joy. That feeling that we get is how I believe God and all of heaven rejoices when someone finally recognizes in their life that Jesus Christ is their Lord and they seek his forgiveness. God longs for our right relationship with him so much that he sent his Son to take your place and your punishment. This morning, in just a few moments, we have a very special event. We will baptize David Allen Vickers, son of Jay and Ashley, and godson to Jim and Wendy. And they'll be making special promises on David's behalf. And we get to witness this. We get to witness the promises, and we will witness the work of the Holy Spirit bringing new life into the life, the body, and the spirit of this young man. His eternal life. And what better day to do that than on Easter Sunday? a day that signifies eternal life for all believers of Jesus Christ. We will, as a part of that baptism, renew our own baptismal vows, identifying the role of the Holy Trinity playing in each of our lives. Today, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, if you will, is the culmination of the total forgiveness of our sins. When we trust and turn to Jesus as our Redeemer, our Passover Lamb, this is a day that is filled with forgiveness, with love, with relationship, and with mercy. Do you know what mercy means? Mercy means not getting what you deserve. God's mercy is so powerful that it overcomes the huge debt that mankind has rung up. And he pays the price on our behalf. The Apostle Paul puts it so clearly for us in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, as we celebrate that gift, let us all give thanks for his sacrifice, his resurrection, and his promise to come again. Amen.